For me, this was big. And I couldn't tell you why. Just in the preparation of this, the emotion that was surrounding this was powerful. And I think, really, when we talk about pain, in whatever walk of life we come from, as we'll find out, we all experience pain at different times, different places, different ways. But this is something which I think, from the youngest child to the oldest person, we can appreciate. So actually, part, I think, of the preparation tonight was in the worship as well. But we want to talk about this idea. For those who don't know, we've been working through a book by a guy called Patrick Regan. Patrick Regan has done some amazing work, particularly in the London area. And he wrote a book called Honesty Over Silence. This idea that we have a lot of things that we often keep to ourselves, we don't speak about, we don't talk to others about. And by doing that, we're not actually helping ourselves, and we're not helping the church to be able to grow and to kind of love one another. So he wrote this really honest, raw book. And we've been working through chapter by chapter using the sort of titles. And the chapter I'm looking at today is Letting Go of Pain. Which, when I first read that chapter, I thought, oh dear, this is going to be an interesting one. Because either this is going to be something which really speaks directly to me and I'm going to struggle to preach on it, or it's going to go way above my head because, you know, I've not had the big bombshells of pain in my life. I've had, you know, bits of pain here and there and everywhere, but I've not had the major stuff that other people could line up and go, well, have you had this? Have you had this? Well, no, then be quiet. So I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But the first problem I had was with the title. Sorry, Patrick, but I'm not a fan of the title, because the idea of pain and letting go of it gives me this idea that actually what it means is that if you let go of it, then everything will be fine, right? I have to question mark that and go, I don't know if that's actually true. Like, I think that, and we're going to explore what it means to work through our pain, but I think I want to start off tonight with saying, this is not a sermon of saying, these are your five steps on how to let go of your pain and then you will be happy. This is a sermon tonight saying that we all go through pain. Pain is real, pain is normal, pain is okay, even though what happened to cause it might not have been. To feel pain is okay. And actually, I think letting go is probably the wrong way to understand it. I think what we do with pain is we recognize it and then we look to work through it. Letting go might mean carrying a permanent scar instead of a permanent wound. And I think this is where I want to come from tonight. If we're going to talk about letting go of the pain, it doesn't mean, okay, pain's gone, I don't feel pain anymore. I think sometimes certain things will linger. We will always remember that moment that happened because we carry those scars. So that's what we want to look at. It's about moving through, working through, sometimes recognizing that the pain is real, and there might be a reason that we need to know that. And the other thing I want to kind of smash at the beginning as well is that pain is not a scale. This is not something, when my wife Sam saw this, she started joking me, saying, okay, well, so man flu's down in the green, and then childbirth is up in the yellow, and then having gallstones is in the red. That was her kind of view. I was thinking, okay, great, but I'm not so much talking about physical pain, although physical pain, I think, is part of when we feel emotional pain, there's often manifests physically as well. We hurt, don't we? We literally hurt. But pain is not rated. It's not top trumps. Anyone ever play top trumps? Top trumps? Yeah. So more of you have played top trumps than you want to admit. Come on, be honest. We don't sit out and go, well, you know, I've got this. That's a pain factor of 90. Oh, well, I've got a pain factor of 95 with this that happened. That's not how it works. Your pain is your pain. Your pain is relevant to you. If the worst thing that's ever happened to you is stubbing your toe, when you stubbed your toe, the world ended in that moment and you did not know what to do. Pain grows with us, isn't it? And as it develops, to sit there and say, I've gone through this, but actually she's gone through that, so that's worse than me, so my pain doesn't matter. That is not true. Pain matters. Pain is real. And the problem when we do that is we often think, I need to mask it, I need to hide it, I need to cover it, because what I'm trying to deal with, or people, I should be letting go, but actually, oh my word, do you know what happened to them? Do you know what happened to that couple? Look at those children in Africa. Oh, my pain is nothing. So we mask it, we cover it up, we pretend as if we're okay. But actually, we shouldn't mask it. We should feel it. And if feeling your heartbreak feels unbearable, then you're probably doing it right. Because pain does hurt. Some people think to be strong is to never feel pain. But the reality is actually, it takes a stronger person, I think, to face up to pain, to recognize it and to carry it. And historically, well, no, that's right. Society will tell you that men cover it up, but I don't think that's true. I think women are very good at covering up pain as well. And this idea, oh, it's not manly to cry, but actually, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but I think this applies whatever your gender is. It's not just what society's told you, what parents have told you. It's about facing up to something which is real and which is happening in our lives. So this is where we want to go with today. I'm sure we are all, in some way, suffering with some form of pain, either right now or historical pain. And what I don't want to do tonight is to belittle that, to tell you that you need to get over it. I also, however, don't want you to tell you just to dwell in it and live in it and wear it. Because I think that pain is good to recognize, but also good to try and move on with. If we sit in our pain and never move on, then we never get past what's going on. And that may be hard, that may be flipping difficult at times. But equally, you shouldn't dismiss it. You should recognize it. Now, the thing with pain is that I see it as a journey. I found this quote. It says, working through pain is a process, a journey toward a destination. Many times, we just want the journey to end. Like the kids in the backseat of the car continue asking, are we there yet? Our trials are similar. Don't put off what needs to be addressed at the beginning of the process, hoping that you can avoid or somehow minimize your suffering. If we're going to recognize pain and we're going to find a way to work through our pain and be honest about our pain, then part of that is realizing that we have to start with the reality of what our pain is, which isn't making it smaller, not covering it up, not trying to compare it to someone else, but starting where it's at, but then not staying in that point and saying, okay, now we need to move. Now we need to journey. And I don't know about you, but actually there's another emotion that usually comes out when pain is experienced. I know for me it particularly does, and it's this one. I don't necessarily look like that, although, again, ask my wife. Maybe at times, anger is an emotion that we often see linked to or directly related to pain. In fact, it's a natural defense against pain. We feel pain and we get angry. We get angry at the thing that causes pain. We get angry that we're in pain. We get angry at ourselves then for being angry that we're. And it's a kind of a cycle. Anyone here ever punched or tried to hit an inanimate object? Because you banged your head on it, and it caused you pain. I did that on the cupboard the other day. I was leaning underneath my kitchen cupboards, and I put my head up, and I banged it, and I went, argh! And I banged it, and then my hand hurt. And I just had this moment of just stupidity, but it was just this stupid reaction. You feel anger, and you're like, oh, I want to deal with this pain. So anger is something that naturally happens. But anger, again, is something else, which so often we think about as something that we're not allowed to have. Can't be angry. It's not Christian to be angry. You've got to be smiley. You've got to be happy. How are you? I'm fine, great, I'm wonderful. What we actually want to say is, I feel like I want to kill someone right now and I could do with a chat. We don't do that very often. Anger is normal. Anger is natural. And in fact, a way to think about anger is you might see anger on the top, on the surface, but like with the good old analogies to do with icebergs, it's all to do with the pain and the overwhelm, whatever's going on underneath. And what I want to tell you tonight, if you may already know this, in which case, great. But just in case you don't, it's okay to be angry. Anger is fine. It's an emotion. It's a body's reaction to something that is going on. You cannot say, I cannot be angry. To feel anger is natural. And so often when we experience pain, whether physical or emotional, with that comes anger. And so not only then will we be trying to bury the pain and mask the pain, we're also trying to bury the anger and to mask the anger. And that can cause all sorts of problems, all sorts of issues, because the anger is there. It is an emotion. We need to exercise it. My youth group know that when I talk about burnt toast, this is what I mean. Has anyone lost it because you've burnt the toast or something equivalent, like something really minor has happened and you've just lost it? No one wants to own up, okay? I have, certainly, many times. I know that young people do because I see it. And it's not the toast being burnt, is it? It wasn't that everything was absolutely fantastic. And, oh my word, black toast, I can't. That is not what's happened here. It is all the other things going on. It's like buckaroo, that final piece was put on and it's kicked everything everywhere because the anger is there. It is normal, it is natural, and so we have to deal with it. And I think part of then learning to do what we do with our pain is we have to recognize that we are angry and that we can be angry, and being angry is allowed, and how and we need to exercise our anger. And this is often, I think, for Christians where we start to tie ourselves in knots. Because the question follows is, well, is it okay to be angry with God? Because, you know, that wasn't my fault. That wasn't her fault. No one, none of us could do anything about that. Why didn't God step in? Or why is that happening to her when we prayed? Or I thought this was going to happen. This new job has lined up and then suddenly nothing. There's so many reasons why we can end up in pain and angry. And then do we doubt and we don't, and we think, I want to, what do I do with this? Is this God? I thought God was here for me. I thought God loved me. I thought God was caring for me, supporting me. I thought God was going to carry me through all things. And then we start to feel guilty about, well, I can't be angry at God, can I? Is it really God's fault? Did God do that? And again, I want to say to you that, of course, you can be angry at God. Whether it's God's fault or not doesn't come into right now. You can be angry at God. He can handle it. He can definitely take you in a fight, but he can handle it. God is almost expecting it. This is not a random emotion. We were made in the likeness of God with a range of emotions, happiness to sadness, joy to anger. And so when we experience anger, God expects us to exercise it, to show it. And that sometimes that might be directed with God. But ultimately, what we do with our anger is where we've got to challenge ourselves. And again, this is part of working through the pain. Do we use our anger to create more pain, to perpetuate this cycle of pain and anger? The Bible says, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. The idea that we need to deal with our anger. We need to deal with what's going on. Yes, you can be angry. Of course you can. And many a time has the sun gone down on my anger. I don't think God will hold that literal 24-hour period against you. But I think what God is saying is, don't let anger be who you will be for the rest of your life. We need to do something with it. And how we process our anger is important. So punching the cupboard when I banged my head was not the best process of my anger. Okay, the cupboard didn't get hurt, it's a cupboard. It hurt me more, though, hurt my hand, and then you can imagine the cycle that goes on. But what if that had been a person? What if someone had bumped into me and my anger response was to turn around and punch them? You can quickly realize how out of hand it gets. So we've got to find ways to deal with anger, that we need to control our temper, for anger labels you a fool. So what do we do? We're in pain. Pain is real. We need to face up to pain. We need to recognize pain. We're feeling anger. Anger is emotion. It's normal. What do we do with it? And more importantly, as Christians, what do we do with that? Instead of let go, I don't know if you can see the faint D, why don't we let God? Let God in. Let God take it. Let God deal with it. Let God be in the middle of it. Let God be the brunt of it all. There's an incredible verse, there's many incredible verses in the Bible, but one verse if you want to look at is John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He explains to them how he's going to go and how he won't always be with them and that they're going to go through tough times. And at the end of this passage, he says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And this wasn't just a kind of, hey guys, it's going to get a bit tough. I'm going to die. And then there'll be a bit of Romans kind of soldiers looking for you. But take heart. It's all fine. I think he was like, guys, it's going to get rough. There's going to be difficult times. But take heart. Hold on to something bigger than yourself. Because ultimately, I've beaten it all. Whatever the world can throw at you, whatever suffering you go through, God is saying, I have ultimately defeated it all. And this is before the cross. Disciples didn't get it at this point. We get to look back and be like, wow. The Bible also tells us that the pain that you've been feeling cannot compare to the joy that's coming. I said this when I preached a few weeks ago, that we are going to go through tough times. We're going to go through the struggles, the storms in life. We're going to feel it. We're going to know it. And the Bible isn't saying, oh yeah, become a Christian, everything's set and up and rosy. The Bible's saying you become a Christian and the troubles of the world still exist. Except now that people get at you because you're also a Christian. Congratulations, you've added some more troubles into your life. But it will not stay that way. Because the joy that is coming, the goodness, the greatness that is coming, doesn't even, you can't imagine how great it is. In the same passage, when Jesus told his disciples to take heart, he says, your sorrow will be turned into joy. No one will take your joy away from you. Despite what we go through right now, the times of pain, of suffering, God is saying, but there is something better. There is something which will overcome everything that you've ever imagined. Whatever it is that you go through, it cannot compare to the greatness that God has. The problem is, and this is where I take a problem, I'm sitting there going, great, God, you're great, glorify you. But right now, God, I live here, right now, in this moment. Unless you're going to come back now, he didn't, one day he will, then I'm going to be in this pain, going to be in this time of suffering. And the pain is real. So what do I do? And this is where we need to remember something which hopefully we can begin to move forward with. The pain is real, yes, but so is hope. Jesus has not left us just to live in a crappy world of disease and car crashes and earthquakes and floods until he says, oh, but one day, guys, I'll come back and it'll be ace. He says, actually, there is something right now going on that can help you through this time. And that hope is not a philosophy, it's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the person we can look to, who we can pray to, who we can scream and shout at, who we can cry with, who we can be real and raw in that time of emotion. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. A song known up and down this country, probably all over the world. And based on 1 Timothy, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. So what do we do with this then? You're in a time of pain. You're in a time of suffering. You're trying to let go. You're trying to move on. You're trying to deal. You've got anger. How does knowing that Jesus is our hope begin to support us? Hebrews tells us that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The first thing we need to remember is that Jesus is our anchor in the times of just horrendous rubbish. That when all else is failing, when all else is drifting away, when all else seems to be blowing a storm around us, that is when God stands firm and says, I will not be moved. I am bigger than this. I am greater than that pain, than that issue. And you can cling to me because I will not move. I will not fail you. And this is what the cross was about. The cross of Christ that Jesus died on to save us from our sins was about God saying, this is an anchor. This is what you can hang your hope on because this will not fail you. So the pain we have, the difficulties we can have, we can start by knowing that yes, we have them. Yes, we're living through them. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. But we can turn to God and we can cling to God, our anchor. But the other thing is that our pain can also be a megaphone. Our pain can be a megaphone to show the world who God is. C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. What does this mean? This means that when you go through, and I say when you go through those times of suffering, when you go through those difficult times, and you cling to the anchor of Jesus, you cling to the cross, and you don't know what's going on, you don't know why this is fair, you don't know if this will change or if it will get better, but yet you say to the world, but still, Jesus is Lord, still I will look to him. Then the rest of the world hears that message louder than ever before. They hear you through your pain and your suffering, and they hear that despite every reason you have to turn away from God, to run from God, to blame God, to give up and never go near God, church, or a Christian ever again, when they see you stand with God, return to God, return to church, declare that Jesus is Lord, that message rings louder than ever before. When we walk through a valley of the shadow of death, And we do not fear evil because we know that God is with us. That speaks louder than anything else in this world. It defies logic and it blows people's minds. They don't understand how that could be true. And so maybe, just maybe, they want to know, who is this Jesus? What is this hope that you have in what seems to be a hopeless place? When was it? Maybe a year ago? Maybe less than that. Every now and again, we go to a youth event called Ignite. Hey, guys. And the guy called Luke did a sermon there a while ago, and he used this idea of, do we have an even-if kind of faith? And he wasn't just making it up on the spot. He was taking it from Scripture, and he was challenging us to say, what is your faith like? Is your faith based upon what God is doing for you and what God will do, or is it based upon what God, who God is, and therefore, even if God does not, even if they are not healed, even if the job doesn't come, even if this does not work out, then God is still great and I will still worship. In Daniel 3, if you don't know the story, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been captured as part of a whole set of the Hebrews and taken to Babylon. They are told by the king and the king advisors, you are no longer Israelites. You no longer worship Yahweh, your God. You worship our God. You are one of us. And they weren't kind of complying. And so they built a huge gold statue and said, everyone must bow down and worship this statue when you hear the music play. But still they defied it. And then the king said, if you do not do this, anyone who does not do this will be thrown into a fiery furnace where you will burn and you will die for your betrayal. And this is what the passage says. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if. I can't imagine what it must be like to be in a situation where you are faced with unbelievable peril, certain death. Nothing else seems to make sense. The only thing you have left to cling on to is God and his goodness. And to then say, despite all of this, even if none of this changes, even if we die in a fiery furnace, even if God is still great, God is still Lord, and there is no one or nothing else that we will turn to. It is about faith in the fire. And this is what it is about when it comes to pain. How often do we feel like we are living in the fire? The pain that will not subside, the situation that does not seem to be improving, and we just feel like we are just burning. But when this happened in Scripture, there wasn't three figures thrown into that fire, but a fourth one appeared with them. God walked with them in that fire. God walks with us in our pain and in our suffering. And he showed us that at the cross. Jesus' suffering on the cross showed the devastating nature of sin, the wrath of God, the cruelty of humanity, and the hatred of Satan. At Calvary, mankind was allowed to do his worst to the Son of Man as he became the Redeemer of mankind. God knows our pain and our suffering because he has been through it. He has experienced it. He lives through it now with us, and he felt it in a human form here on earth. The ridicule, the torture, the rejection. He went through it all, and he did it to point to how great God is. The anchor of the cross was shouting like a megaphone, my God is bigger. This will not be the end. Death is not where it stops. There is more. There is something greater. There is something fantastic. There is greater joy coming than you can ever imagine. How the disciples and the mother of Jesus felt in that moment as they watched him die, I can't even begin to imagine. But I do not believe that Scripture shows us that they were full of joy and hope. They were devastated. They didn't know what to do, where to go, so they went and they hid. And they waited until finally the message came. He is risen. Death is gone. It's been defeated. It cannot hold us. We often pray for God to take us out of our suffering, and that is not a wrong prayer to pray, because sometimes I think God does. Despite what I'm saying today, I believe in a God of miracles. I believe God can step in, and in a moment, he can change things. But I also believe that sometimes we sit and it doesn't happen. In my personal experience, more often than not, the miracle change does not happen. So where is God? He's right there with us. He puts himself into that suffering. He enters into it with us. Why? Guys, I don't know. Why do certain things happen? Why do situations go on in people's lives and God can just sort it out? I do not know. Why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? I do not know. But what I do know, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, is that God is doing something far bigger than we can imagine. He is painting on a canvas much bigger than we can see. We are too up close, staring at our one little bit, and one day we'll be able to step back and see the glory of what God is doing. I don't know why that means why people die, why people get sick, why natural disasters, why people lose their jobs, why people are hurt, abused. I do not know why that happens, apart from saying that we live in a world which is full of sin. And it will be that way until God makes it right again. But what I do know is that God has said very clearly, this is not how things are going to stay. When I put my arms out on the cross and I said, it is finished, I meant all of that pain, all of that suffering, all of that crap that is coming. It will not stay forever. It will not win out. I am an anchor that you can hold on to in the storm. And while you do that, you will shout the message of Jesus Christ like a megaphone. It rings out a message of hope when there is nothing else to do. And nothing ahead of you is bigger or stronger than the power of God behind you. Nothing. Where you feel like you are done, where you feel like there is nothing else you can do and you cannot carry on, that is when, as the Footprints poem says, that God lifts you and he carries you. When Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because that is when God is fully in charge and moving and happening. And it's not by my strength, but by his. And when we trust in God, then God says, then you will be blessed. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And above all else, God is good. And that can be the last thing we want to say in these times. God, you're good, but I'm really suffering. God, you're good, but they're really going through it. God, you're good, but I'm never going to see them again. God, you're good, but I don't know where to go from here. It seems alien. It seems as if it doesn't make any sense. But the reality is God's goodness does not rely on how good our situation is or not. When our situation is great. God is good. When our situation is pants, God is still great. God is still good. It is not judged upon how our lives are going. And it is dangerous, church, that this is what we base our faith on. Because that is a faith that means when things are great, we're with God. When things are not great, it's all God's fault, and so I don't want to know. And God is saying, I haven't changed. I've always been good. I know you're hurting because I'm hurting. I know that's crap because I think it's crap. And I want to stand there with you, but that is when you run from me. Even when we can't see it, God is working. Even when we don't see the goodness, it doesn't change that God is good. We didn't witness Jesus dying at the cross, but it doesn't mean it's not great and it doesn't ring for eternity. We didn't witness the resurrection, but Jesus is alive. Death is defeated. God is good. Going to come towards a close with this. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. The Psalms are a wonderful place to go to see how people felt about God. And there was great joy and rejoicing, but there was also great sorrow and bitterness and anger and desperation. And that is because that's how we can be. We are allowed to be real with God. But what the Psalms always bring it back round to is that despite this, God, I will praise you. Despite this suffering, despite this pain, despite this situation which makes no sense to me, which I cannot see how in any way it is good, still I will say that you are good. You deserve alone my praise and my worship. And as the storm rages, then I will just have to shout louder above the wind and the waves and the rain. Psalm 69 is just one of many psalms that really shows us the hurting people. And if you ever got time, I suggest that you write it down or you go and read it. I'm just going to read some sections of Psalm 69, starting from verse. It says, "Save me, O God, from the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me or the depths swallow me up or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes." But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save Zion. He will rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. It's just one classic example of just, God, what do we do with this? But despite this, we will praise you. There's a song by Hillsong called Even When It Hurts. And it was written a few years ago, and it was written for this idea, modern day psalm, so to speak. This idea that even when it hurts, even when the troubles come, even when we don't know why, still we will praise you, God. One of the lines, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I think they use it as a kind of Christian swear to kind of really put the reality across. Even when it hurts like hell, I always praise you, God. No matter what you're going through, whatever pain, suffering, you need to first of all know that it is okay, that it's real, and that you should feel it, that you should be honest about it. If you feel angry, upset, that's also fine. Be angry, be upset. Don't mask it, don't hide it. Pray with people, speak to people, spend time working through it and being honest and real with it. But also, hold on to the cross. Hold on to this anchor of hope that God has given us. And know that as you do that, you are preaching a megaphone message to those around you of the goodness of God, that even when it hurts like hell, still we will praise him. I'd like to move into a time where we just allow us to think, to maybe pray or just process. And I'm going to play this song, a video, it's just a lyric video, just to give you time to take in the words. If it's a song you know, then great. If it's one you've not heard before, then I encourage you to just take the words in and maybe even seek to sing it for yourself. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what place, whether you need prayer right now or whether you feel, actually, I'm doing pretty good, then maybe pray for others. We don't have a set ministry team tonight, but I think particularly for something like this, I'd want to encourage you just to turn to people around you who you love, who you trust, and just allow them to minister to you. If you are going to pray, don't kill it with words. Let God do that. Just be with them. Just let them know you're there. They may be happy for you to have a hand on them, and just invite God to.